Saturday afternoon, and time to drop in at the Sportsman's Club for another of the favorite sports stories of Grantland Rice. Yes, Saturday afternoon is yarn spinning time down at the Sportsman's Club. That's where the sports fans gather every week as guests of the Dean of American Sports Writers, Grantland Rice. Granny Rice, who has been covering the top sporting events of the past 30 years and knows the fans as well as the sports. Granny knows good sports stories, too, and he shares them with his friends these Saturday afternoons. So come along to the Sportsman's Club for another of the favorite sports stories of Grantland Rice.
Where's Granny Rice today?
Where is he? Are you kidding?
No, on the level. Granny's usually right here on the button.
Listen, have you forgotten what day this is?
Why, Saturday. Saturday, May 6th. Oh, yeah.
Sure, you dope. It's Derby Day.
Yes, men, it's Derby Day. And every Derby Day finds Grantland Rice up close to the rail at Churchill Downs in Louisville. But he hasn't forgotten you, because here's the story Grantland Rice has picked for you today. It's by the well-known writer of baseball fiction, the late Charles Van Lone. Pull up your chairs, man, and listen. This is a baseball story that goes back to the days when a rookie had to prove himself off the field as well as on before the old-timers on the club accepted him. Every busher who came up to the big league got his baptism of fire. If he could take it, he was welcomed into the select company of the veterans. If he couldn't take it, well, the old-timers figured he didn't belong in the big time anyway. Charlie Van Lone wrote a story about one rookie who made it the hard way, and he called it Mr. Conley.
You know, a nickname is like a porous plaster. You slap one on to cure a fella or something, it takes hold easy enough, but sometimes it takes the hair with it when it comes off. Now you take this rookie, Mr. Connolly was what we called him, with the accent on the mister. We did it to cure him of being too fresh, and it stuck so tight, it came near making a stranger out of the best third baseman in the league. We were being sarcastic. It meant for the name to hurt. But still in all, I claim it was better for him to be Mr. Connolly than just plain Connolly third base.
Say, dude, you seen Smokeless anywheres around lately?
No, not lately, Eddie. Last I seen, he was talking to the Bald Eagle outside the hotel.
Okay, dude. If you see him, tell him I'm looking for him, will you?
What I mean is that sometimes it's a bad sign if a player ain't got a nickname of some kind. Now, you take me. I'm Dude Daly because I got a weakness for striped shirts. Smokeless is Solly Jones, who can throw a ball so slow you can read the league president's name on it. The Bald Eagle is Jim Patton, our manager. You just make up a list of ball players without nicknames, and I'll bet you won't find many stars in your collection. But you want to know how Connolly got the name of Mr. Connolly? Well, to give you the whole story, I got to go back to the Union Station in St. Louis, where some of us regulars met last spring before we went on to a training camp in Florida.
Hey, dude. Here I am over here.
Hello there, Smokeless old boy. Have a good winter, huh?
Ah, great. Hey, you look in the pen.
Yeah, I'm in shape. Hey, where's Billy Howard?
He's over fixing up the tickets. You seen Rance Murdoch around?
No, I just got here.
Billy ain't had no word from Rance, and he's worried.
Ah, Rance will show up all right. Hey, Smokeless, you're looking pretty good yourself.
Yeah. I've been working on the farm all winter.
Yeah?
I'll win 20
hey,
this year.
Smokeless,
easy.
Have you seen anything of Murdoch yet?
Yeah.
Oh, hello, dude.
Hello, Billy. How's the boy?
I'm terrible. Being secretary to a ball club isn't any picnic.
Now, don't worry, Billy. Murdoch will show up.
He'd better show up. I don't bring him to camp, the bald eagle will skin me alive.
Ah, forget it, Billy. We got another half hour before the train pulls out.
He should have been here an hour ago. That's what I told him in the wire.
Hey, wait a minute. Ain't this Murdoch coming now?
Where? Yeah. Hey, Ranch.
Oh, that takes a load off of my mind.
How's the boy, Ranch?
Oh, hello there,
Ranch,
fellas.
You did get...
Hey, Ranch, you've been giving me a few more gray hairs. I thought you weren't going to show up. All right, fellas. We might as well get on the train.
Yeah, let's get in there. Come on.
Just a minute, fellas.
Now, come on, Ranch. Let's go.
Well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I got something to tell you.
You can tell us inside. Come on.
But, Billy, I ain't going.
What?
What did you say?
You ain't going where?
I ain't going to camp.
You're not going to camp? Say, are you nuts?
Listen, Ranch, if you show up late to camp, Patton will slap a $100 fine on you. Sure as you're standing there.
Yeah, maybe 200.
Yeah. Come on, Ranch, let's get on that train.
No, wait a minute, you fellas. You don't get it at all. I'm not just going to be late to camp. I ain't going at all. I'm quitting. I'm quitting for good.
Quitting for good?
No, I'm quitting for good. Oh, listen, well, you see, here's the way it is. I get married this winter, see?
Ranch, you going to run out on the club?
Oh, no, not exactly run out. It's... Well, only I'm a married man now, and...
Uh-oh. Save your breath, boys. It's no use. Anytime they start pulling this I'm a married man now routine, you don't have to ask for waivers. They may look all right and talk all right, but they'll never be the same. I wouldn't give a lead nickel for a whole carload of bridegrooms. Come on, Billy, let's get going.
Hold it there, Jones. Shut up for a minute, will you? Now, look, Rance, you're not serious about this. You wouldn't walk out... You wouldn't do that to the old man, would you?
No, I don't want to do it, Billy, but... Well, my wife's old man's got a clothing store there in Kansas City, see? And he's made me a deal. He'll give me a third interest in the store if I'll come with him right now. Look, there's no future in baseball. You guys know that. Why, in a few years, I'll be through. Now, what have I got? Nothing. Nothing but a lot of busted fingers or... Or maybe rheumatism. Well, listen, fellas, I talked this all over with my wife, and she thinks
His wife thinks. That's a payoff. Don't waste no more time, Billy. This dope's wife is thinking for him now.
Hey, listen, Jones, one more crack like that, and I'll take you apart right here, see?
Yeah? No, yeah. You won't, bridegroom. Not you and all your wife's counter-jumping relations. You're a quitter, see? That's what I think of you.
Why, you're dirty.
Hey, come on, let him go.
Now, wait a minute, all of you. Let me get a word in here. Rance, answer me this. You're on the level about this? You're not just going to hold out for more dough?
No, honest, I'm quitting for good.
Your mind is made up?
Yeah.
You're going to peddle these hand-me-downs for your wife's old man, right?
Yeah, that
now, dough. Wait a minute. Listen, Smokeless. Billy, let's face it. Rance ain't kidding, see? He's got a right to quit if he wants to.
Yeah.
But it ain't right for guys who've been pals to break up like this. Now, what do you say we all shake hands and wish him luck, huh?
Yeah.
Good luck, Rance. We'll miss you.
Put it there, kid.
Thanks, fellas.
Smokeless?
Well, okay, Rance. Shake. I wish you luck. But I don't see how you're going to have any luck selling suits in Kansas City.
Oh, I'll... get along.
Well, maybe. But I'll sure miss you when I'm pitching, especially on those bunts down the third baseline. Rance, you're going to miss us.
Yeah, I guess so.
Afternoon's going to be awful long, Rance, with nothing to do but carry a tape measure around your neck. You'll get to remembering how good it feels to catch a fast one on the nose.
Oh, I don't know.
And someday, you'll run across a big league club that's on the road... You'll see men who've been like brothers to you looking out of the Pullman windows. And you'll be willing to give all the clothing stores in Missouri just to be with them again for one game.
Come on, Smokeless. Let's get on the train.
Yeah, come on. Cut it short, will you?
You'll be fat and out of shape. And you won't be able to get your hands below your knees. And people will point to you and say, can you imagine that guy ever playing big league ball? You're selling out awful cheap, Rance. Awful cheap.
Oh, it won't be that bad.
It'll be worse.
Come on, Smokeless.
So long, Rance. Maybe I'll buy a suit off you someday.
Oh, so long. So long, fellas.
I'm giving you the background, see? That's how Rance Murdoch come to quit, leaving third base wide open for this Mr. Connolly. Connolly came up from the Sally League. Gagas, our chief scout, recommended him. Now, us regulars don't pay much attention to rookies as a rule. It ain't that we're stuck up or anything like that, but we're just naturally clannish. If a new man can stand the third degree, we let him in when we get good and ready. We don't like to be rushed, though. It's easier for a St. Louis woman to crash Chicago society than it is for a rookie to get into our little family circle. But we couldn't help but notice this Connolly out there on the field.
Hey, who's that red-headed kid on the third base, dude?
Name's Connolly. Gagas dug him up.
Mm-hmm. He don't look bad out there.
Seen him hit?
No.
Looks even better at the plate.
You think he's ready?
I don't know. The old man likes him, I know that. But he's got his fingers crossed.
Yeah, can't tell about these spring flowers. Well, we sure could use a third baseman with Murdoch out of there.
The kid stood out like a $20 gold piece in the collection plate. He was a natural ball player. He could run, field, hit. He didn't make any mistakes. Well, not until one night in the dining room. The rookies were supposed to eat by themselves. Nobody ever heard of a rookie sitting himself down at a table with the regulars. Not until this night.
Hey, pass me those potatoes, will you, Eddie?
Yeah, sure.
Hey, this steak ain't half bad, you know.
Yeah, this is a good eating hotel. I got to say that for them.
They're all good the first few days.
Pardon me, gentlemen. You don't mind if I sit down?
Well, what in the...
Well, sir, we certainly got fine weather for spring training, eh, gentlemen?
Hey, this guy's asking for it.
Let him alone, dude.
I've never been to this part of Florida before.
Is that so?
Yeah, I like it, though. Like it, yeah.
Well, it's nice of you. I don't believe I caught your name, mister.
Oh, I've got a card right here. There you are.
Mm-hmm. A card yet. Let me see. Marshall P. Connolly. Well, well. Gentlemen, this is Mr. Connolly.
How do you do?
You just passing through the city, Mr. Connolly?
Oh, no, no. I'm with the ball club, same as you are.
Same as I am.
Yep.
Well, well. What do you do with the ball club, Mr. Connolly?
Oh, I'm getting a tryout at third base.
Oh, no doubt you'll be playing third base regular.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I think so.
Well, well, gentlemen, Mr. Connolly is going to play third base regular.
Well, now, ain't that nice?
That's very decent of Mr. Connolly.
I don't mean to brag. I'm just pretty confident, that's all.
You sure are, Mr. Connolly. Eddie.
Yeah?
As I was saying, you're all wrong about that thing, I think. I claim there's a better way than sawing them off short or knocking them off of the club. That's a quick way, all right, but you're liable to fracture the skull.
Yeah. Well, what do you do?
Well, I use a kind of a salve. If anybody has trouble that way, you just rub this salve into the scalp, see?
Uh-huh.
In a few days, they just drop off themselves. Don't damage the horns, neither. You can mount them if you want to.
Horns? Are you talking about horns on a... human being?
Not exactly on human beings, mister. Oh, dear me, where'd I put that card? Yes, not exactly on human beings, Mr. Connolly. You use this salve on goats and bush leaguers who go around butting in where they ain't wanted. I got a whole box of it in my trunk if you want to try it.
Oh, I get it. Pardon me, will you gentlemen excuse me? I just remembered I gotta make a phone call.
Certainly, Mr. Connolly. Goodbye, Mr. Connolly.
You're pretty rough on the kid there, Smokeless.
Yeah.
Yeah? Well, who does he think he is in trying to crash our table and handing out calling cards? Mr. Connolly.
Well, sir, in a few days we were all doing it, calling him nothing but Mr. Connolly. And then the newspapermen took it up. And Connolly started eating by himself at a little table in the corner of the dining room. Some of us felt a little sorry for him. but not smokeless.
Here's the way it is. When they were dealing out humility, this Connolly didn't draw to his hand. You get what I mean? Oh, sure, I say he's got the makings of a great ball player, but it won't hurt him to be reminded once in a while he's just related to this club by marriage. Got to keep these rookies in their place.
Well, I got to say this for Connolly. He took it like a man. I mean, he took it from us regulars. But another rookie started mistering him all over the place. He was a big guy. Outweighed Connolly by 30 pounds. But Connolly wiped up the floor with him. Well, like I say, Connolly took the riding pretty well. But when the old man told him he was going to play him regular at third base, I guess he figured it was all over. You see, he was a college guy and probably thought we were just giving him one of those college fraternity initiations. So he goes ahead and makes another big mistake as our train pulls out for the north.
Give me two cards, Eddie.
Right. Dude?
I'll take a couple.
Well, well, well. Here we are all together, eh, boys? What do you say there, Smokers?
What in the... Hey, wait a minute.
Hello, dude. How's the kid? Let's see what you're holding there, ready, boy.
Say, who is this bird anyway?
Ah, come on, fellas. Cut it out.
I'll open.
What do you got, dude?
Is this a friend of yours, Smokeless?
Him? Well, now the face is familiar.
Ah, come on, you guys. Lay off.
Yes, the face is very familiar. I got his name here someplace. Yes, here it is on this calling card. Of course, Mr. Marshall P. Connolly. How do you do, Mr. Connolly?
Yes, Mr. Connolly.
Why don't you just go and sit down somewheres, Mr. Connolly?
Yeah, I think you need some more of that salve I was telling you about, Mr. Connolly. Your horns are growing out again.
Okay. Okay.
Are we keeping you from something, Mr. Connolly?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe you are.
Goodbye, Mr. Connolly.
The dope. He ain't learned a thing.
See what I mean? Connolly took it too fast. We would have eased up on him gradually, but he figured that when he landed a regular job, he was one of us. I guess that's the way they did it back in that jerkwater college he came from. But he toughened up after that night on the train. He started mistering us right back when he talked to us at all. And he started off playing a whale of a game, hitting 325 and handling third base so well, the fans forgot that Rance Murdoch ever existed. We tried to make a few advances then to him.
Hey, Connolly, it was a nice game you played out there today, kid.
Glad you liked it, Mr. Pine.
Oh, say, Connolly, I got a couple of passes for a show. How about coming with me?
Sorry, previous engagement, Mr. Howard.
Say, Connolly, I'm willing to admit maybe I was a little rough with you, kid, but...
Oh, this is Mr. Jones, isn't it?
Now, look, Connolly, I'm only trying to say that...
Ah, one side, please, Mr. Jones.
Okay. Okay. Okay, Mr. Connolly.
You get what I mean? It was no go. Connolly froze us stiff. He peddled out insults right and left. And he did it so doggone politely, too. And finally, the old man figured that a good fight was what was needed to clear the atmosphere. So he engineered a row in the clubhouse, and Connolly knocked 85 bucks worth of bridge work out of Eddie Pine's mouth. And he gave Smokeless a shiner with all the colors of the rainbow in it. And then he refused to shake hands. The old man tried to talk to him.
Now look here, Connolly. This thing's gone far enough.
Yes, Mr. Patton?
Don't call me, mister.
No, Mr. Patton?
Connolly? You ought to know that every rookie gets a going over when he lands with a big league club. It don't mean nothing, really.
It doesn't, Mr. Patton?
No, it doesn't, Connolly. Now, you've had your going over. The boys like you. They're willing to forgive and forget. Now, why don't you thaw out? Let's cut out this foolishness. What do you say?
Well, may I ask you a question, Mr. Patton?
Well, sure, kid, sure.
I'm paid to play third base, I believe.
Yeah, well?
Do I play third base to your satisfaction, Mr. Patton?
Well, sure, you're going great out there, kid.
My hitting, Mr. Patton. Is my hitting all right?
Well, say, sure, you're hitting fine.
Well, then the rest of it's my business. Isn't it, Mr. Patton?
Yeah. Okay. Okay, Mr. Conley.
Well, sir, it went along that way all season, with Connolly getting crustier and crustier, but playing ball like a wild man, breaking up lots of ball games with that bat of his. He was popular with the crowds, naturally, but he wasn't happy. He was the saddest, lonesomest ball player in the league. And I'll bet he would have given 20 points off his batting average just to have a heart-to-heart talk with a real pal. There wasn't a man in the club he could call his friend. Well, like you know, if you read the sport pages, we win the pennant, thanks to Connolly, but the kid don't even join in the celebration.
Say, Connolly, the boys are throwing a little dinner down at the Rascala tonight. You'll be there, won't you?
No, I can't make it.
Well, I know the boys would like to see you there, Connolly. And I don't mind telling you that they couldn't have won the pennant without you.
I've got some things I gotta do.
Okay. You know best, Connolly.
Hey, Jim, you coming with us?
Yeah, I'm coming, Smokeless.
Who's that you were talking to, Conley?
Yeah, tried to get him to come along.
Nuts to him. If he wants to keep acting upstage, let him go.
We owe the kid a lot, Smokeless.
What do we owe him? This ain't a one-man ball club, is it?
No, but he sure plugged up that hole at third base for us.
So what? I won my 20 games, didn't I? Nobody's babying me. Come on, let's go. We ain't got time to worry about Mr. Conley.
You read the sport pages, don't you? Well, if you got any sense at all, you know that the World Series wouldn't have went past five games except for Shag Robinson's lucky home run. You probably know, too, how the Cubs picked on Conley right from the start. Figuring at him being a rookie, they can get him rattled. They kidded him. The coaches yelled at him. In the very first game, Gievers threw a fastball right at Connolly's head.
All right, get your foot out of the water bucket, Mr. Connolly. Stand up there, you busher. You ain't afraid.
Throw that ball and shut up. You haven't got enough speed to get that derby hat.
Hell, boy.
That kid had guts, all right. They couldn't rattle him. I guess maybe his hide was too tough after the season he put in with us. Well, anyway, like I say, if you read the sport pages, you know that we led 3-2 going into the sixth game. One more will give us the series. The old man picked Smokeless Solly Jones to pitch for us, him having slowballed the Cubs to death in the first game. This thing happened in the second inning of the sixth game. Mickey Mullaney, the Cubs' second baseman, tried to steal third. Cochran, our catcher, juggled the ball just for a second and then threw to Conley. Mullaney comes tearing in, spikes first. The spikes ripped into Connolly's leg. I rushed over.
Hey, what's wrong?
Are you hurt, Connolly? Are you hurt?
No, I'm not hurt.
Huh? Yeah, you dumb cluck. Keep off that baseline if you don't want to get your legs cut off.
What are you talking about, Mullaney? I seen the whole thing. He wasn't on the baseline. I got a good notion to punch you in the nose.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You in what regiment?
Listen, Mullaney, I seen that. Listen, you dope, we keep a steel file on our bench just to sharpen spikes for guys like you. Next time you come up to bat, I'm going to hit you right in the ear. You get that? Right in the ear.
Yeah? Well, you couldn't hit the ground with your hat, Jones. And this Bush League third baseman better quit blocking that bag or you get cut in two.
Sure you ain't hurt, Connolly?
No, I'm okay. Come on, let's go.
All right. Break it up.
Nothing in the world shakes a man's nerves like a spiking. I've been cut pretty bad myself a couple of times. And to this day, I never see a runner coming at me feet first without remembering how that steel rips through the flesh and scrapes the bone.
Conley, come over here a minute.
You want to see me, Mr. Patton?
Listen, are you hurt?
No, I'm all right.
Better let me have a look at that leg.
No, it's not worth peeling down a stocking for. It's just a scratch.
Okay, but I don't want you in there, Conley, if it starts bothering you. All right, you guys, now come on, talk it up.
All right, take it. Come on. Hey,
if that kid's leg was hurting him, you'd never guess it then. He was all over the place like a circus tent, pulling off sensational stops, going back under the grandstand almost for fouls. And the crowd was going crazy. But you read the sport pages, don't you? There's no use me dishing out any stale news. This was the sixth game, like I said, the ninth inning. Now, you remember the play? Shag Robinson of the Cubs hits a line drive over third. There ain't nobody in the world can stop it. But Connolly jumps 9 feet in the air and knocks it down, and then scrambles in the grass after it. It was the greatest stop in the history of the game, for my money. The winning Cub run is streaking in for the plate. And then it happened, like you know. Connolly gets to his feet and throws the ball straight into the grandstand. The series is tied up at 3 games each. Well, you know that much. But like lots of guys who read the sport pages, you don't know the half of it. You don't know what happened in the hotel that night.
Well, Yeller showed up at last. Connolly. Mr. Connolly just ain't there in the church. He throws away the ball game for us. We should be world champions right now. He ain't got it, that guy.
Ah, lay off the guy, Smokeless. There weren't none of us perfect out there this afternoon. The kid played a whale of a game right up until the ninth.
Sure, but what I'm saying is he ain't got it when the heat's on. Yeller. That's all, he's yellow.
Oh, he's yellow. So Connolly's yellow, is he? That what you guys think?
Oh, hello, Jim. No, I was just saying the kid choked up out there.
Oh, so he choked up, did he? Well, I wish I had 9 guys who can choke up like Connolly. You dopes.
What do you mean, Jim?
Take a run up to room 422 and see what I mean. Go up and see for yourselves just how yellow your friend Mr. Connolly really is.
We went on up. Connolly was inside, and the trainer was working on him. We could hear their voices through the transom.
Well, you were crazy, Connolly, to stay in there with a leg like this. You might have ruined yourself for life. Why didn't you say something?
Say something? Who would they have to put my place at third? I couldn't quit. I had to stick in there even though the pain was killing me. And when I jumped after that line drive, I felt my leg was coming off. Turned me sick and dizzy. I couldn't see. That's why I threw the ball away. I was blind. I couldn't see.
Yeah. Well, now take it easy.
You hear that, fellas? Come on, we're going in there.
Yeah, let's go.
Hello, Connolly.
Hello.
Hiya, kid.
Oh, hello, holy Connolly. Smokes. Look at that leg.
That's okay now.
You played all afternoon with that kid.
Connolly, we didn't realize.
No, Connolly, we...
Well, you big dopes, you should have realized.
It doesn't make any difference. I'm just sorry I threw that game in away, and I won't be in there tomorrow.
So. Oh, nah, don't worry about tomorrow, kid. We're going to win that one for you.
Yeah?
Yeah, Connolly.
Don't you mean Mr. Connolly?
No. It's high time we give you a real name, kid. And wait. Gentlemen, I want you to meet a friend of mine, Spike.
Remember, we'll be back next Saturday at the Sportsman's Club with another sports story selected by Grantland Rice. This is the National Broadcasting Company.